Heavenly Father, again, we're grateful for your presence with us as we have started this service. Thank you for inhabiting our praises, as is your custom. Thank you for your tangible presence. As we enter your word again, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. I pray for fresh unction and anointing upon my heart, my lips, that indeed I would speak as I should, as an oracle of God. I also pray that you put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are here physically, and those who will be hearing me remotely electronically, so that the word, your word, will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great and in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yea, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men, so that indeed they will become doers of the things that they hear and are hearers only. I also pray for mercy, that I will be faithful to deliver the word with precision, redeeming the time, saying only what you want me to say. Yes, bring now the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in their own individual lives, all agreed with me individually and said, amen. We continue our study in God's word in Romans chapter 15. In our last lesson, we stopped in verse 29, where we're speaking about the fullness of the blessings of the gospel of Christ. And we took time under the Holy Spirit to expatiate on this. There is a blessing of the fullness of the gospel of Christ. And I explained that the fullness there indicates the entire scope of man's being, spirit, soul, and body. Spiritually, the fullness of the blessing is to grow into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The Bible says in another way, in the same book of Ephesians, in chapter 6, 4, in verse 16, it says that we might grow up into him in all things. That the revelation of that, the reality of it, you know, is the fullness of the gospel of the blessing of the gospel of Christ in the spirit. In the mind, in the soul, you've got the mind, the will, and the emotions. Now, this is a truth that has not been properly appreciated or explored to any degree of depth. You know, the Bible actually tells us that as Christians, our soul is our will, the mind, and the emotions. And when you have the fullness of the blessing of the gospel in your soul, it means your will is totally submitted to the will of God. And I explain this, that the more you know God, and the more you understand God's word, the easier it is for you to submit your will to God's will. Because God is a good God. Everybody say, God is a good God. I didn't hear you. Indeed, he is. He said, the thoughts I have towards you are thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. People are reluctant to submit to the will of God because they think the will of God is hard. They think that God may ask them to do some terrible things, like he asked Abraham to go and deliver Isaac, you know. And we have all these funny ideas at the back of our heads. And it's because we don't know God properly. Even when God tells you to do something that apparently, seemingly may look hard or may look, you know, difficult, it's because he has a better plan at the back of it. And it takes faith. That's where trust comes in. Trusting in his character, you know, his goodness, trusting in his wisdom, trusting in his power, to know that God will not ask you to do something that is going to destroy you, or something that's going to be inimical, you know, that's going to be to your disadvantage. No, that's not the kind of God he is. He's a good God, you know. And then also, when you know that, then you find it easier to submit to the will of God, because you know he has only good in, you know, plan for you. Then also, in the mind, and that's, this is an area that has not been explored to any degree. Because most people think that when we say we have the ability of the mind of Christ, they think only of knowing scripture. You know, okay, you know, you have the revelation of God's word. You know, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that we have the mind of Christ. You know, but if you go a few verses behind that, you will find that he is talking about something that's much deeper than even just knowing the plan of redemption and knowing what the Bible says, which is very crucial, very important, and foundational, but it's only a foundation. Ultimately, this is what Paul said, you know, and a few years ago, God opened this up to me. I really haven't heard anybody else preach on this. I know a few men of God have touched on it, like Kenneth Hagin, you know, and just mentioned it in passing, but I believe that the unraveling and the reality of it is going to be much more manifested in this third day, in this 21st century. And what Paul said was, he says, eye has not seen. He said, ear has not heard. He said, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things God has prepared. So he's talking about something that people can't even begin to fathom. And God began to show us that, you know, he's talking about, you know, the ability of the mind of Christ, you know. And we get a hint of what this is like from the lives of both Daniel. I mentioned that last week. The Bible says God gave these four children. It wasn't the devil who gave it to them. It was not natural knowledge. It was natural knowledge, but given by supernatural enlightenment of the mind. He gave them knowledge and understanding and wisdom and skill in all learning. And there's an area that the Christians really have not developed. And then I didn't mention this last week, but I was reminded of it in my meditations about Solomon. The Bible says God gave Solomon, you know, largeness of mind. Let's look at that. Let's just look at it briefly. First Kings, I believe it is. And I think it's chapter 4, verse 29. Yes. First Kings, chapter 4. It's talking about, you know, how God expanded Solomon's mind. We're talking about the ability of the mind of Christ. When the human mind is enlightened with the light of God's life, you know, giving it the supernatural ability to handle, you know, a large amount of information, to be able to process it, you know, and become like God, you know, in his thinking. This is the, he has given us the mind of Christ. Let's read this together. It says, and God gave Solomon. I didn't hear you. Now, I told you, remember, say, and God will give to you, as you walk with him, wisdom and understanding exceeding little. Largeness of heart. That's not generosity. He's talking about an increase in mental capacity and sagacity. I don't know if you got that. He's talking about increasing your mental ability. I call it, you know, incredible photographic memory, incredible language learning ability, artistic ability, musical ability, mathematical. These things have actually been observed in human beings that are called savants, you know, but usually there's a downside because of the fallen nature of man, that the person will not have good social skills. I saw something recently on the internet, you know, there was a particular, I can't remember the name of the guy. They said that he was an American. He was born in the maybe late 1800s, early 1900s. He had a higher IQ than Albert Einstein. When this guy was about 8 years old, you know, at two, he started to read. He could read newspaper at 2 years old. Then by the time he was eight, he had studied maths and physics. He was taken into Harvard. You know, he became a professor at 16. Extremely brilliant. He spoke and learned about 10 languages, including Hebrew, you know, Russian, English, of course, you know, French and Spanish and I think Chinese. He was a wonder. But the man died at the age of, I think in his 30s or in his 40s, you know, and he could never harness those abilities properly. And that's because, you see, because man, because of the sin nature and man is fallen, you know, people that experience this potential that is in the human brain, it's there. And people who experience a little bit of it, sometimes they have a downside, you know. And this was a very unfortunate story. But, you know, all this is documented. That the guy was, he was far surpassing anybody that they knew. But he couldn't have social skills. He didn't marry. He became a recluse. You know, he tried to hide himself. He didn't want people to know who he was. And then finally they found out who he was, and the press came. And, you know, it didn't end well. But the truth about the matter is that God can and will, for Christians who will believe it, you know, and it's this right here in the Word of God, said, largeness of heart, even as the sand on the seashore. Verse 30, let's read together. And Solomon's wisdom, I didn't hear you, excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. Like today, you know, God is going to give wisdom to the church. I preached this many years ago. You know, a greater than Solomon is here. You know, that will far excel, you know, like here and in the world, you know, maybe people like Albert Einstein or Steve Hawking and some of the people who are considered to be intellectual giants. The church will excel them. He says, and Solomon's wisdom excelled. We haven't seen this in manifestation, but it's one of the consequences of us growing into the fullness. We're talking about the fullness of the blessings of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we grow, that light will come into our minds. Last week, I think it was, you know, I stumbled on something on the internet, and I sent it around the whole church, you know, on the social media, you know, on our WhatsApp groups, you know, about, you know, the scientific evidence of God, the DNA. You know, in our DNA, you know, there are chemical bonds, you know, I can't remember all the names of all of them, but there's C, T, G, and A. You know, they stand for different chemicals, you know. And using those four chemical bonds, God has written the code for each human life. Watch this. Inside the cell, the nucleus of the cell of every human being. You didn't get that. If you know how tiny a cell is, but it's not in the cell, it's not in the cytoplasm. If you did a little bit of biology, it's inside the nucleus. And each DNA code is 3 billion lines of code. Those of us who did a little bit of computer science can appreciate what we're talking about. You know, when you're writing a computer program, every line that you write, you know, you define a function, and then you write a piece of code that does, you know, some manipulation of data and all of that. Now, imagine, I've written code, you know, over, you know, in my undergraduate days, and even in recent times, you know, I've studied things like Python and some of the new computer languages. And I'll tell you something. Good programmers, brilliant programmers, if you can write a code of 500 lines, it would take you months. Hello? Maybe you write 10 or 50 or 100 lines of code every day, because it's a logical thing. You have to think it through and all of that, you know. Now imagine somebody who can write code that is 3 billion. Everybody say 3 billion. I didn't hear you. I don't think you know what you're talking about. I didn't say 3 million. I said 3 billion lines of code, and then put it in a tiny space, like the nucleus of a cell. All this, our iPhone and computer and iPad, has what we call a central processing unit inside it. You know, and for things like the iPad and things, you know, that deal with a lot of graphics. We have another one, it's called a GPU, which is a graphical processing unit. We have both, you know, central processing unit and graphical. Inside that, you know, the scientists in places like Google and Intel, they write the code that determines how the computer behaves. Usually it's probably a few hundred or 100,000. Sometimes we get up to 1,000,000, put code into it, and it's in a tiny space. But that's what man does. Oh, give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. God has far surpassed that by putting 3 billion lines of code inside the nucleus of a cell, and each is unique. That's what determines the color of your eyes, the color of your hair, how tall you are, how fat you are, everything about you. To me, as a scientist, by the grace and the mercy of God, and to any honest-hearted person, that is the it is the evidence of God that cannot be argued with. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because an intelligence had to put it there. Just like you have 1 and 0 inside the computer, 1, 0, 1, 1, that now determines, you know, if I say dog, the computer doesn't know dog. That D will be a combination of 1s and 0s that is coded to become D. Then there will be another set of 1s and 0s that are converted to get O. Then there will be another set of 1s and 0s that comes with G. That's how data goes into the computer. So when you type on your keyboard or your phone, what you put inside the computer is a series of 1s and 0s. What God has done, give him another clap offering, somebody, is that using 4 chemical bonds, C, T, G, and A. All our doctors know them off-head. I know some of them, but I can't remember all of them, you know, off-head, off the bat now. You know, by mixing them, so you have something C, T, G, A. You see another one, C, T, 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 G, 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 A, T, C, G, G. All is a code. 3 billion lines of it. That tell your body what to do. It is so precise, we use it now in law. So if somebody goes to commit a crime and you take a sample of his blood or his hair or anything he leaves behind, they can go to the lab, they will look at his DNA, you know, they'll look at that code, and they can compare it with the code on a database. So they can now say, it is that person that was there. It is so precise. Now, I'm about to blow your mind completely. Listen to me. When you get the ability of the mind of Christ, you'll be able to code at that level. You don't even know what that means. That, Pastor Gwega, mommy, is what God, what Paul received by revelation. They didn't know DNA in those days. He just knew. He said, he just put it this way. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of man the things God has prepared for them that love him. In another place, we're going to talk about that later on in my main message later on today, you know, as the Lord helps me. He said it in another way in Ephesians chapter 3. When we're talking about being filled with all the fullness of God, he said, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we can ask or even think. That's what I've just told you now. Now, men are writing code, you know, and it's not one man. It'll probably be a team. If you go to Google, you know, and places like that, we have some of our brethren who work in Google, you know, you know, that I met this last time I went to America, Wally Abiri and some guy, you know. He works in a team, you know. There may be about 10 of them in one team. Each day, they may write all together, all the 10 of them put together, they may write maybe, you know, 1,000 lines of code or something like that. That, because no one man No one, your brain is not big enough, but it's going to get big enough. Like God gave Solomon largeness of heart, where the mental capacity of a man, so one man can now sit down with the ability of the mind of Christ, and he begins to code beyond what any other human being. Give him a clap offering, somebody. It's on the way. So this is the fullness of the blessing of Christ in the mind. Then there's the fullness of the blessing of Christ in your emotions, where you develop the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and that controls your emotions. You behave like God does in every situation. And then there's the fullness of God in your body, where the life of God is made manifest in the mortal flesh, leading to things, you know, instant healing of consistent. Ever say consistent? I didn't hear you. Oh, consistent. Then we say instant. Now put them together. Say consistent, instant healing of the sick, cleansing of the lepers, raising of the dead, casting out devils. That's what Jesus had. That's the fullness of Christ. So that's all Paul was talking about. The blessing, the fullness of the blessings of the gospel of Christ. He was going to come and impart that revelation to them, and a spiritual strength and power to begin to grow into it. It's that, that's what he was praying for the Ephesian Christians. He prayed two prayers for the Ephesian Christians. The first prayer was a prayer for wisdom and revelation so that they will know. Then the second prayer was a prayer for strength, so that not only will they know, they will grow and experience it. That, you know, strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ will dwell in your heart by faith, that you become rooted and grounded in love, be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height of the body of Christ, and so to know the love of Christ, which is greater than knowledge, that you might be filled. That prayer has a focal point with all the fullness of God. They didn't experience it in Paul's generation. They got the revelation of it. They wrote it down for us. We are the end time generation that are going to not just pray it, experience it. Give him another clap offering. The fullness of the gospel of Christ. The world has never seen anything like it. No wonder why the Bible says the whole world is waiting and groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has even heard it talked about. These things that I'm talking about, that God has prepared for them that love Him. He said, but God has revealed them unto us. How? By His Spirit. I don't know about you as a Christian, but when you begin to understand these things, you begin to take your Christianity seriously. I'm not just become a Christian just so I can just get born again, speak in tongues a little bit, you know, get a few material blessings and die and go to heaven. This is what I want. The fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. And God will not tell us about it if it's not available and He didn't want us to have it. Well, then what's the point of telling us about it? Besides, God is a good God anyway. Shall not of the Lord of the whole earth do right? The reason for the revelation is so that we can have the experience. Not just to think, just to tickle our ears. If you can't say amen, say oh me somebody. All right, let's go into our main thing for today. just to whet your appetite. You know, just a review of what we said last week. Now, let's get back to Romans chapter 15. We're going to finish Romans chapter 15 today by the grace and the mercy of God. You know, I don't control these things. God does. Amen. And in we're looking at verses 30 through 33. Romans 15. Verse 30. So verse 39 talked about the fullness, which was, you know, just reviewing. Then here, he now says this. He says, now, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit. How many people love the Holy Ghost here? That you strive. I like that word. Because it shows militancy. It shows that we're dealing with a warfare situation. That you strive, I didn't hear you, together with me in your prayers to God for me. verse 31, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. Verse 32, these are three prayer requests, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and with you may with you be refreshed. And then he ends and says, now the God of peace be with you all. In other words, if you pray these, if you cooperate with me and take hold together with me, you know, to pray these prayers, the God of peace will help you to do it. And you know, it goes back to what we said in Philippians chapter 4. I'm probably going to look at that scripture again later today, where it says that don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be, and the God of peace, and the peace of God rather, with passion will keep your heart. That's what he's saying here. And the God of peace will be with you. So as you pray for me for these things, the God of peace will be with you. Now I want us to look at these prayers. This is going to be my main message today. I'm going to be talking about sowing and reaping prayers. So I'm not going to go into too much detail now. I'm going to reserve that, you know, for the main message later on today. But I'm going to say a few things now. Observe something. Paul knew he needed prayer power from the rest of the saints. He knew he could not pray it all alone. This is a truth that all of us must come to a knowledge of. That's why I said, I want you to, I beseech, if I was begging, say, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, if you love Jesus and you love the Holy Spirit, then pray for me. Strive together. I'm praying. Paul was a great man of intercession and prayer. He said, but I still need you also to pray for me. Observe, brethren, that prayer is a business all of us must be involved in. I like the way my wife, I was preaching on this some weeks ago, you know, and my wife pointed out this from the book of Ephesians. Let's go there. Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 16, and we'll look at it in the New King James Version. I like that because, you know, it really makes it very clear. And I'll probably be talking more about this again in my main message, but let me just quickly go there now. It says, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together. I didn't hear you. What's wrong with you this morning? By what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Everybody scream it. A few parts do their share. The leading sensors do their share. The man-child company does its share. Gideon's army does its share. Only the good morning Jesus people does their share. Every part. That's the problem. I'm going to be sharing this in my main message today. The reason, you know, it looks as if the manifestation of the sons of God is being delayed. I was expecting that maybe we're going to see something this last Feast of Tabernacles. It hasn't happened. No problem. We've gone back to action stations. We're going, you know, the Bible says, though it tarry, you know, wait for it. For, you know, it will not be behind on its appointed day. I got another message. It's not for today. It's not for, you know, but I'm going to preach it soon. It's called, it is time to follow Jesus. You know, because one thing about prophets, one of the characteristics of the prophetic ministry is to tell you the purpose of God and the corresponding timings. They had understanding of the times and seasons. And in the New Old Testament, when you ever see the word times, it's talking about years. For example, in Nebuchadnezzar, it says seven times passed over him. It was 7 years. The Bible says a time and a time and half a time. It's years. So one way you can always understand those scriptures is to say, you know, understand it like this, you know. They had understanding of the years. He says, I, Daniel, understood from the books the number of years. So the years is not just time. is years, you know. So when the Bible says, you know, he's coming, you know, talked in Hosea chapter 6, you know, in verse 2 and 3, as well as, you know, some of the other scriptures, you know, it says, you know, the time. He's talking about the year. It says the vision is for an appointed time. It's actually for an appointed year. He says, and if it doesn't happen, he says, wait for it. Doesn't mean wait passively. You wait actively. Wait for it by continuing in prayer. Then he says, it will not be behind on its appointed day. The reason is this. The thing that causes it, the appointed time to be the right time, is when all the conditions are fulfilled. It's not that God has chosen one day or one year or one time. It's when the conditions are fulfilled. And going back to what I'm talking about, the condition here is that every part does its share. God is looking for a bunch of Christians, a group, where every part is doing its share, particularly in this area of prayer. So Paul was enlisting the Roman Christians, the brethren in Rome, and said, look, I want you to pray for me. He didn't just say pray. He said strive together. You know, I'm talking about intense spiritual warfare in prayer. Strive together. Hallelujah. In your prayers for me, for three reasons. Let's get back to Romans now. Thank you, Jesus. Number one, that I may be delivered from them which do not believe in Judea. You know, this is exactly what happened. You know, I was sharing with us, you know, in this Bible study, this Romans 15, that Paul had a plan. His plan was he would go to Jerusalem. He would minister. He would take the offering that the Gentiles in Achaia, which are the Corinth and Macedonia, Philippi, you know, he would take some of the offerings that they had given and go and give it to the poor saints in Jerusalem. Then when he leaves Jerusalem, he was planning to go to Spain. And he would go to Spain via Rome, see the brethren, take the fullness of the gospel, of the blessing of the gospel to Christ, go to Spain, minister to people in Spain, then come back again through Rome, you know, and be refreshed by them. That was the plan. But in history, that's not what happened. And incidentally, that was the reason why he was asking for prayer. Because Paul perceived, he knew in his heart that this Jerusalem he's going to, there's going to be a problem. So he said, please, I'm going to Jerusalem now. I want you to, for the Lord, it's not for Paul's sake. It's because Paul was fulfilling the purpose of God for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, because of the Lord Jesus Christ and because of the Holy Spirit, strive together. I didn't hear you. Strive together with me. Now, I'm striving, but I need more of you to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me so that I will be delivered from the brethren in Judea. He knew that going to Jerusalem and going to Judea, was Satan was going to raise up opposition. So he prayed for, and you know that's exactly what he got. God answered that prayer. If you go to the Acts of the Apostles, you will discover that Paul gets to Jerusalem, he shaves his head, which he didn't need to do. You know, he even, you know, did some animal sacrifices. James and others called him and said, you know, the people are saying that you're teaching the Gentiles and you're teaching that we don't need to do all this Mosaic law anymore. You know, he said, you know, just to calm them down, you just go to the temple, shave your hair, take a vow. And he did it. You know, it didn't work. You know, you never, let me tell you something. The devil's nature in people, no matter what you do to try and, you know, to try and placate them, they will not be satisfied. And Paul did all of that, you know, and he took the offering to the brethren and all that. They saw him in the temple. You find in the book of Acts. They attacked him. They said, this is the man. They wanted to actually kill him. Thank God for prayer. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. You know what happened? He was delivered. And who did God use? The Romans. The Bible says that they held Paul. They carried him. They threw dust in the air. And they wanted to kill him. So when they now took him out, you know, Paul said, oh, no, stop. You know, then they stopped for a while. Then he spoke to them in Hebrew. Because Paul could speak Greek. He could speak Latin and he could speak Hebrew. You know, and he was Hebrew, you know, he was a Jew. So when they heard him speaking Hebrew, they listened for a while. So he told them about how Jesus saved him and how God appeared to him and all that. He got to a particular point. They said, hey, where we such a fellow from the earth? They got so angry. It was the devil. That was the day they would have killed Paul, if not for this prayer, that I might be delivered. Immediately, they started to scream and shout. Somebody went to go and tell the centurion who was in charge of Jerusalem that Jerusalem is in an uproar. So immediately that guy just sent soldiers. It was the soldiers that carried Paul and delivered him. So this prayer was answered. Another clap offering for the Lord. Turn to everybody and say, God answers prayer. Then the second prayer was that his service would be accepted, and it was. Then the third prayer was that he would come to them with joy by the will of God. That prayer was answered because Paul finally wound up in Rome, but not the way he thought. He went as a prisoner of the Roman government because he had to appeal to Caesar, appeal to Augustus, when the Jews in Jerusalem and in Caesarea were planning to actually kill him. And the information got out, you know, Paul's sister's son heard. He came to the palace where Paul was being held by the centurion and said, don't listen to them more. They have taken a vow that they will not eat or drink until they kill Paul. So the man just organized for a security party to take Paul in the middle of the night. 70 soldiers on horseback and whisked him out of Jerusalem. You know, and then when he appeared before Agrippa, Festus, and Felix, this was over a period of time, you know, Agrippa was so convinced. He said, Paul, you almost convinced me to be a Christian. Paul said, I want you to be exactly like me, except for these chains. He said, then Agrippa called Festus, who was the Roman governor, and Felix, and said, this man hasn't done anything wrong. You know what Felix said? He said, we would have released him, but he has appealed to Caesar. So he has to go to Caesar. So he still got to Rome. And the Bible records to us that when he got to Rome, you see this in Acts chapter 28, you know, that people came, the Jews, they came, you know, they gave him freedom. They didn't put him in jail at first. They gave him freedom. He had his own hired house. So he did this. He got there, he preached, he taught them in Rome. It's just that he never went on to Spain because he was under the arrest of the Roman government. And I want you to know something, folks. Turn to your neighbor and say, God always answers prayer. But it may not be exactly the way you think. He did go to Rome. And that's why we're reading this letter. Praise the Lord. And not only this letter, many other letters were written while he was in jail. All the epistles, the complete, watch this, Pastor G, the complete New Testament revelation that God wanted Paul to give to the church was fulfilled. Hallelujah. You know, when he first got there, you know, it was, Nero killed him. No, not initially, you know, and he was, you know, He was kept in prison, but they gave him a lot of freedom. He had his own house for a while. You know, he had time to preach, to teach, to do everything God wanted him to do. Wrote all the epistles, you know, and he was trusting God that he would be delivered. But after a while, as he prayed, he just knew it was time. And you know, he wrote it in 1 Timothy. and 2 Timothy. He said, the time of my offering up is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Initially, he said, look, I don't know whether I'm going to live or die. He said, to go to be with Christ is far better. To live is Christ, to die is gain. He said, but to stay in the flesh is more needful. So he stayed on for some time. When he finished all the letters, when the assignment was over, he said, now. It wasn't the devil that killed Paul. I know the devil was there. It wasn't Nero. Paul agreed. He and God agreed together. It's time to go. And he checked out. Give him another clap offering, somebody. Give the Apostle Paul a standing ovation, somebody. Glory to God. What a great man. Hallelujah. He and God decided. He said, the time of my offering up is at hand. And, you know, until he and God agreed, nobody could kill him. And that's what it means to have dominion over death. Dominion over death doesn't mean you will not die or you may not die. It means that you will dominate it. It is not death which will dominate you. Death can't just walk in and kill you. You and God now decide, okay, I want to go now. It's okay. There you go. That's what happened with Paul. You can sit down if you can. I don't know if I'm helping anybody here. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And so that's what happened. So all the prayers were answered. He was delivered from the brethren that did not believe in Judea. They were going to kill him. He was delivered from them. His service to the saints was accepted, you know, and he did get to Rome, but with joy, with the will of God. And with them, he was refreshed in Rome, you know. And this teaches us a very important lesson, dearly beloved brethren. When you're facing this opposition, and when you're facing, you know, difficulties, don't give up. And don't allow yourself to be discouraged. He was facing a lot of opposition, but he kept on in prayer. That's where he learned all those things from. Put on the whole armor of God. Praying all his prayers and supplication and spirit. That's what he was doing. Then he was enlisting more brethren to join him. And that goes back. I'm going to preach this in my main message, like I said. So I'm not going to detail now. But it goes back to what I was saying. See, the reason why sometimes there's a delay in the things God, it says, though it tarry, wait for it. Didn't say wait passively. He said, wait actively. It says, and it will not. Is when enough people are not just praying. Every part needs to do its share. No one man can pray everything. And when I finish this afternoon, you will understand. No one man can do it. He can pray, but he needs, even Daniel, he needed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, when Nebuchadnezzar said, look, why is the king so hasty? He said, there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. He said, give us tonight. Then he went to go and call Shadrach. He didn't pray alone. You need the spirits of other people because of the multiplier effect of, you know, one shall put 1,000 to flight, two put 10,000, five will chase 100, you know. 100 will chase 10,000. I'm going to go into detail in all of that later in the afternoon. And that's why God put those figures inside the Bible. They weren't just chosen out of a hat. It causes a multiplication, an amplification of the power of God when we pray in the Spirit. And in the Spirit is very, very, very important, because that's how the Holy Ghost is able to concatenate. He's able to combine those prayers together in the Spirit for him to fulfill his purpose. And so Paul understood that, and that's why he says, strive together with me in my prayers. Strive together with me. Don't pray all these lazy Mickey Mouse prayers, you know. Put your heart into what you're doing. Pray with fervency. Pray You know, like mommy will say when they're doing good man job, pray, 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 pray. You know, pray, 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 pray. Put your heart into what you're doing. Because the more of us that pray and pray effectually, the greater the power of God that is generated so that the purposes of God can be fulfilled in their fullness. Thank God for Paul. Thank God he was delivered. Thank God he was able to do all the things he wanted to do and give us the Pauline revelation. What would we do without the Pauline revelation? Remove Romans to Hebrews from the New Testament and you've just got all you have is just the four gospels. You will see what Jesus will, but you will never know how to do it. Stand to your feet. When you learn to pray as you should, we'll talk more about that, you know, later on today, you will find that the God of peace will be with you. And it's one of the sure signs to know if your praying is effective, is getting more effective or not. The peace in your heart. If there is anxiety and worry, you haven't prayed enough. The more you pray in the spirit and the power of God is being generated, you see, that power of God, because it's generated from the inner man here, it comes out of your mouth into the air, but it also has an effect in the mind. That power brings peace to the mind. The Amplified Bible says, let's quickly look at it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. 6, 7, and 8. It's in the Amplified Bible. We're going to pray in a minute. Philippians chapter 4. He uses a military expression. Philippians chapter 4. Thank you. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in some things. And in very crucial situations, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests continue to make your wants known to God. He's talking about praying in spirit here. It's not explicit, but it's there. Because if you see, it's the same thing he said in Ephesians 6 when he said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. In the King James used the word supplication here. Verse 7. And God's peace, I don't hear you, shall be yours. That tranquil state of his soul, assured of his salvation through Jesus Christ, so fearing nothing from God and being content with his earthly lot, or whatever sort that is. The peace which transcends all understanding. Now, this is the part I like. Shall garrison, what's a garrison? He's talking about troops. A military situation. You know, and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, the point I want to make is this, dearly beloved. If you're praying in the spirit, effectually and fervently, and you do it to the degree you should, it will bring this peace. If that peace hasn't gone, continue to pray. That peace will come. The answer may not come. The manifestation may not come immediately, but there will be peace in your heart. You will know. Is what people call praying through. The old Pentecostals. You know, or breakthrough. You break through in the spirit. When you break through in the spirit and sufficient power has been generated and released to deal with that thing, even though you may not have seen the physical answer, the peace in your heart will be the witness of the fact that you've broken through. And that is what Paul was saying, and the God of peace will be with you. Strive together in your prayers for me, and the God of peace will be with you. That peace will come into your heart, and you will know it will be well. Look, honey, how do we know it's going to be well with Nigeria? We pray, we intercede, and we still hear all the bad reports, but we know from inside. I got to close. I'm reminded of Joshua and Caleb. They saw the same giants. We can see the giants in Nigeria today. They saw the sons of Anak. They saw the high walls of the cities. And the other people who were not praying, who were not walking with God as they should, they said, oh, the sons of Anak, they're too big. You know, they're going to destroy us. You know, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. I like Joshua. He said, let us go up at once. He said, listen to him. He said, let us go up at once. He said, for their defense is departed from them. But they were not. The defense was there. He said, they are bread for us. The man had it in his heart. When you pray as you should, effectually and fervently, with all kinds of prayer, if you do your share, in your heart, that peace will be there. And when they talk about the Nigerian problem, you say, they are bread for us. Ah, glory to God. They are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. Because our God is in control. Put one hand on your heart. Let's pray. You are the peace that guards my heart. My help in time of need.
You are the hope that leads me on and brings me to my knees.
For here
I find you waiting,
and here I find relief. So with all my heart I worship, and unto you
I sing. Lord, you alone deserve all. Lord, you alone deserve all praise.
Father, we worship
and adore you.
To see your face, hallelujah.
We alone deserve all praise.
Father, we love you.
We love you.
Worship you this day. You are the peace. Glory to God.
That guards my heart.
My help. You are the hope. Glory to God. And brings me to my knees. For here.
Here I find release.
So with all my heart,
I worship
you.
To you I say,
Lord, you alone.
Lord, you alone. Father,
we worship. Adore you,
Father, we long to see your face.
Lord, you alone deserve all praise.
Father, we love you.
Father, we love you.
We love you.
And we worship you. Father, we love you. I didn't hear you, folks.
And we worship you
then. Father, we love you.
Father, we love you.
Oh, yes, we love you, Lord.
And we worship you.
Put that hand up. The other hand. When you touch your heart, it's a sign of sincerity, a sign of honesty, a sign of humility, of submission of your heart and your will to God. You know, all this raising, they're all symbolic. Raising of your hand means, you know, I'm looking to God and heaven for my help. From an honest and a humble heart. Raise that hand and touch that heart. Say, Lord, have mercy on us. Say, Father, I confess my sins. We have allowed worry to dominate my mind. And I've not overcome it by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving in the Spirit. I repent of that. I receive the cleansing of the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness and life and power in sufficient measure as we pray. Father, going forward. I said going forward. In everything. In everything. In everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. I will pray until your peace garrisons and guards my heart from every worry, fear, or agitation. Even when the physical answer has not come, your peace in my heart lets me know you are in control. You are working on the situation and the answer will definitely come. Father, help me. Help me to play my part, to put out my own share of the prayers that you are calling the body of Christ to now, to bring about the manifestation, the outpouring of the power of the Spirit without measure. Oh God, help me not to be a useless member. Help me to be a member that is playing my part, that is releasing my own share, so that together, by the power of the Holy Ghost, we will generate, release, and manifest the power of the Spirit without measure to this generation in this prophetic time. In Jesus' name, amen. Mercy, Father. Ha 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 ha. Mercy, Father. Thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you. Lord Holy Ghost. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your life. Thank you for your power. Nea, Jekiko, Rika Toloma Toloma Tufrininger Dores, Togama Toloma Tufrida Frides, Toloma Tufridish Kofrides, Toloma Tuklon, Tushka, Ritolo Lombardushka, Rino Sufrinesk. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Let's give a lot of super clap offering.